Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Apple, Spotify, YouTube as well. You know the deal. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Your voice was breaking. I don't know what that was all about.
It didn't sound like that on my end.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's fine. I didn't know if you were nervous because we've got such a hot-looking guy on the show today, and I'm not talking about myself, but we have he's way too much man for you. We've already established that off the air, but we're both on weight loss journeys. I've lost 65 pounds in the last year and a half, and I know you've lost weight, and you know, everybody is on their own journey, and I'll tell you what, if you're a woman in her 30s and up, this is the guy to go to from what I'm looking at. But he's also got a fascinating story besides that. He's been a male model. He's been apparently a narcissist. He's been all sorts of things. And he's been a personal trainer. And now he has a fitness program, Metabolism Rev Up, and he does also life coaching. As we said, he looks like a bald Bradley Cooper on steroids, but he is not on steroids, and he's not Bradley Cooper. Here he is. Derek Newborn.
I'll take that as a compliment. How's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute compliment. You have never heard that your face looks like Bradley Cooper's a little bit?
I have heard that, but the whole bald and on steroids, nobody's ever put the total package together. So I appreciate that. Now I have the full visual.
I wish I looked like a bald Bradley Cooper on steroids. I'm working on it. I've shaved the sides of my head.
Interested in muscle. Mark likes muscles on men, on women in general. Okay. He's going to be a muscly man someday. I'm sure of it.
Okay. All right. Nicole knows me better than I know myself, apparently. She's projecting a few things on me. But before we get started, I know you hit the gym a lot. And I need to catch up with your energy because I know you just have tons of energy from everything I've heard and seen. So I'm sure you've seen this at gyms and GNCs, but this is our sponsor, Raise Energy Drink, and this is the best. Okay. I love this. And the best part about Raise Energy Drink, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. And I know you got your tongue in your cheek. You probably advise people not to have energy drinks, but if you're going to have one, this is the one to
go with that. There you go.
That's the one. So, and don't go to gyms or GNCs. Go use our code in the description and get Raise Energy Drink. Get a case for 15% off. This is the Baja Lime flavor, which tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. I know you've never had any of that, but our audience has. So zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. Get Raise Energy Drink.
Can I get a little off subject for a second?
No, please do. Okay, I guess we're starting.
It's about your sponsor. So I was at the bar the other day, and they have an alcoholic Baja Blast slushy at the Federal in NoHo. I didn't try it, so I was trying to be good, but I want to try it so bad. Well, sorry, I know it's totally off topic, but can you imagine Baja Blast with tequila? Because that's what they said. Tastes just like Baja Blast, but with tequila.
Well, funny you should mention that, because funny because you've had the Baja Lime Raise with vodka, and that was really
cool. I have, yeah.
And funny you should mention that because Derek has a T-shirt on his website, Tequila Shots and Body Squats. Is that what it is?
And Back Squats.
Awesome. Back Squats.
Back Squats. Yeah, buddy.
Now, that's not a combination most personal trainers brag about, but if they go on your program, they absolutely can do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we focus on, number one, getting people results, but we also put equal emphasis on them being able to enjoy life. So if you come into my program, you'll never be told you can't eat or drink A, B, or C. You'll never be told that you have to drink A, B, or C. Because once you have a full understanding of how metabolism works and all that, you realize that it's just a matter of portions of food. So if we can get you to thrive with your fat loss or weight loss, but also keep every other aspect of your life thriving as well, set yourself up for long-term success. So tequila is my personal preference. So I'm always encouraging my clients, if they do drink, go with tequila just because it's straightforward. There's not much in it. And really, you know, it's not the liquor or alcohol that prevents progress. It's usually the decisions we make and the food choices we make while we're drinking the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I can attest to that. My biggest problem is I eat out too much. And if I go out drinking, then I end up ordering food almost like 50% of the time. And I'm really trying to break that habit because it's so hard. Because you drink a little, you're like, ooh, food would taste good.
Exactly. You need to do more tequila shots and back squats. That's what you need to do.
I do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, first question I have for you, Derek, is, is your name really Newborn? Because that seems a little too on the nose.
I swear to God, my name's Derek Newborn. That's how it is. And I didn't even ever put two and two together till like recently when people started saying it. Like, it just never occurred to me till now. So yeah, that's my real name.
That's so perfect though.
Thank you.
I have another question about drinks. This time though.
What a surprise.
This one is more, I drink diet soda, but where do you stand on soda as a whole? Because a lot of trainers would definitely say no soda, right?
Yeah, so it really depends on where you're at. So like, I come from the position, let's say you're like, Derek, I'm drinking 5 sodas a day. So the first step is to get to 4 sodas a day.
Okay.
And then 3 sodas, and then 1 soda, and then 1 diet soda. It's all about progress. When people try to take these big drastic steps and completely overhaul their life, and it's very hard to do that. But if you can create small daily steps, then the less work it feels, the less willpower you have to have and all that. Like I said, we're set up for long-term success, not to completely strip everything away from your life.
Right. Yeah, actually, Derek, and I guess this is as good a time as any. I have used a coach, and that's how I've lost 65 pounds in a year and a half. Her name is Paige Sandgren. I don't know if you're familiar with her. Female bodybuilder. You wouldn't miss her if you saw her. And I you're a big muscular guy. Her arms are bigger than yours, I'm sure. But her program is very similar.
Okay.
It's food freedom. And it's basically, you know, everything in moderation, counting macros and lifting weights and exercising every day, basically. And basically habit changing, not a crash diet or something like that.
Yeah.
It's worked for me. And I can't thank her enough. I'm really glad I found her.
Yeah. Congratulations, man. But yeah, you said it. It's just a matter of just replacing old habits with new habits that align with where you want to go and the person you want to become.
Right. And I think the reason I responded to her and I told her that right away was, and it was no overnight thing. Trust me, I struggled for the first few months. I was almost ready to give up. And, you know, she talked me through it and guided me through it. And she started me at a lot larger calorie count than I have now and scaled me down, which I didn't understand what she was doing.
Right.
The reason I responded to her is because I think, and no offense, that she was a female.
Okay.
And your program is for women over 30. Why, why that? Why not everybody?
So it's geared towards women 35 and up. And it's geared towards
that. I apologize to all the 32-year-old women out there.
No, 30 and up. Mainly women that have lived life and experienced marriage, divorce, childhood, whatever it may be. Anyway, it's geared towards that because I'm super passionate about that demographic because I was raised essentially by a single mother. And during that time, she had to juggle, obviously, raising me, working 50, 60 hours a week and trying to keep her head above water. And obviously, you know, she lost a lot of self-confidence. She couldn't keep up with her body, which led to, you know, being ashamed of herself and all that. So I take that essential demographic in that template and try to create what exactly my mom needed during that time. And that's what I deliver to women. So these women already have so much on their plate. I come in and start removing things from their plate that no longer serve them so that they can be their best versions while they're going through the most stressful time in their life.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And I say 35 and up, because like I said, you know, I try to avoid 20-year-olds that have a lot of time in the gym and haven't really experienced life's up and downs yet, is why I say 35 and up. But you don't have to be exactly 35. You're 34 and a half or 30s or 27. It's more about the life experiences you've had than the actual age.
Right. And that's great. So you grew up in Florida.
Yeah, born and raised in Fort Myers.
Right. I know exactly where. I used to live in Fort Lauderdale. I used to live in Miami.
Okay.
So
I have a question about the women that are in their mid-30s. In your mid-30s, that's where your metabolism starts slowing down. And so you're helping women that have slightly slower metabolisms too. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. So age doesn't actually have an effect on your metabolism. So what happens is as we go through life, we become less active in some way, shape, or form, usually because of marriage, job, kids, all that stuff. So we stop producing as many muscle fibers. The muscle fibers is what controls your metabolism. The more muscle fibers you have, the higher your metabolism. So you start losing them through life experiences and less activity. So around that age is when you start to notice the difference because your nutrition doesn't really ebb and flow. So at that point, you know, you start looking at yourself and not liking what you see and not liking the way you feel. And people automatically assume it's like a magic age number when really it's just the journey of our life.
That's interesting.
But your program actually tackles this. I mean,
So we teach them how to raise their metabolism naturally. So give your body enough food to create new muscle fibers and preserve the ones you have, not enough food to create fat cells. So as they repeat that process, number one, remember they're using foods that they already enjoy. As they repeat that process and build more fibers, now their body starts using more energy just to operate, walk, sleep, brush their teeth, not even talk about working out. And that's how they eventually get to the part where they're burning fat 24/7 because they have increased their metabolism via the muscle fibers. And then once they have control of their metabolism, nobody can take it away from them. They don't have to pay for another diet, another coach, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. They go from frumpy to flat tummy.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, all kinds of research.
No, I'm all over you. You said your mother, was she a single mother, I'm assuming?
Yeah. My dad went to prison when I was like 7 for quite a few number of years. So it was just me and my mom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. And she stepped up and she became the mother and father, which so many women do these days.
Yeah.
But you, I guess, rebelled against that and built up your muscles and became a male model.
Yeah. I built a successful fitness career first, and then from that got discovered in the modeling world, and then became the full-time fitness model and did the whole cliche fitness model lifestyle for quite some time until I blew it all up with self-sabotage.
Yeah, I researched that too. That was modeling did not work out for you.
Oh yeah, what happened with modeling? How did you self-sabotage? If you want to share.
Yeah. Well,
Nicole likes to hear about everybody's self-sabotaging stories.
Yeah.
I like to hear things about people that are like human.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, my father going away caused a trigger of abandonment in my life through most of my early adulthood. So long story short, I had this abandonment issue that I was kind of unaware about. And it was like one of those things on the outside, right? Derek has a successful fitness business, traveling the world as a model. He has this great girlfriend at home. That guy's killing it. On the inside, I was severely depressed. I felt worthless. So I did a lot of cheating on my girlfriend. I did a lot of using, abusing, friends and family for my own good, just very self-absorbed behavior. And, you know, as all those things got more successful, the more damage I was doing to the people that I love, because I was trying to feel worthy, trying to fill this abandonment void. And eventually, you know, people can only take so much of that behavior before they decide to check out of your life. And then that threw me into a downward spiral, two suicide attempts. And then I had to essentially rebuild myself from there.
Yeah.
I went through my own, I wasn't using people, but I was very depressed and I did try to kill myself twice. So I can relate to that. I know how scary the darkness can be and how it can feel like there's absolutely no hope or no future for you. Yeah. So I understand that. I would say it sounded like you were acting out of fear because you had the, I mean, you probably already know this, but you were coming from a place of fear as opposed to a place of hope and light.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so scared of being abandoned again. So like subconsciously I was telling myself, I'm never going to feel abandonment again. So I don't care. You know, I know that this person's going to leave my life at some point. So like, I know my girlfriend's going to leave me at some point. So I need to have a backup on the side. And essentially, you know, that's terrible, terrible behavior. So my greatest fear of abandonment, I actually created through all that self-sabotage behavior, because essentially everybody did leave for good reason because they had no choice. I put them in that position.
You pushed them away instead of because you were afraid of them pushing you away.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Because I had seen so many times in my life the people closest to me leave my life, no matter how good of a person what I was, no matter how much I loved them, how much I cared about them, they still ended up leaving. So I had that thought in my mind about everybody around me.
How did you get yourself out of it?
So I essentially started taking a hard look at myself because I was at rock bottom, and like I was blaming so many people and blaming social media for putting me in this position. And then like the more I thought about it, I just realized the common denominator in all this was me. So clearly I'm what created this. So once I was able to accept and take ownership that I was solely responsible for everything that transpired in my life, all the bad shit leading up to it, I also realized that that means from that point on, I'm able to control what happens. If I control
your power back
down to the bottom, that means I can create whatever I want from this moment forward. So really extreme ownership is what got me out of the hole, or at least
that's wonderful.
Face in the light.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to everybody. That's good.
Yeah.
Some people just sink to the bottom, and some people like you two and myself, although I never was that was suicidal, but I was definitely depressed and had a nervous breakdown at one point. That's honestly, that's how this podcast was born.
Yeah,
because I literally have a nervous breakdown, and then I had an opportunity to start a podcast, and I had a new artistic outlet, and it saved my life, really.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah,
so
it's crazy how things manifest out of our worst times.
Yeah, you know, it really is. But I, you know, being a male, you were a self-described narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'll tell you what, if I was as hot as you, I'd be a narcissist too. But you were in the male modeling world, and it's interesting because I had a friend that he was actually, this is going back a ways, but he was a Playgirl centerfold.
Okay.
He was that, you know, and I remember being envious. I'm like, wow, when you go to like signings and events, you must have girls all over you and like all these housewives and all these, like, no, it's all dudes. So you must have had a big gay following.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It took me a while to realize that, because, like, you know, you do all these photo shoots, you look great or whatever, but really the only people that are like into that and like absorb it and like daydream about you are dudes. Like,
right, you know, which is fine, but that's not, you know, that's just weird.
Yeah,
to a heterosexual, it's kind of weird, a weird shift.
Once I walked away from modeling, I think I deleted like 95% of my followers once I walked away from modeling, because it was all dudes. Yeah, people were like, I bet your DMs are lit up. Yeah, with dong shots.
Yeah, that's all. I have a gay following for a completely different reason, because they like the big bear thing. But it's flattering. It's just I'm not into dudes. But
I think it's a nice thing. I mean, I've been over the years, I've gotten more open about my own sexuality, and it has invited new people that are interested and more open about their sexuality. And I have a lot more gay followers than I used to have. I mean, obviously they have to like me for my personality. So now that I've been more open with them, I think it's cool to have all sorts of different people from different walks of life.
Absolutely.
And I think that they are very passionate. They're very passionate about what they like.
I would say they're definitely much more aggressive in social media than women.
Oh yeah. in the clubs too, trust me. I had a guy once put me in a headlock and wouldn't let go.
That's
how much he liked me. So, but once again, flattering.
Club, you drive me home.
Yeah, and he was wearing a cutoff shirt, so it was flattering. But I did not need to smell his armpit BO. Now, did you help your mother lose weight?
No, because I was so young. Like that just wasn't even a thing. I mean, I've helped her later on in life, but during that time, no, because I was still young.
Right. And I really love the story because you've helped women that are in the situation as your mother, and I've seen the testimonials, and they're amazing. I mean, some of these results seemed hard to believe, but I guess they're true.
They've been accused of being fake for sure, but they're all real. That's why I try to tag each woman in her testimonial, so anybody can message her directly and be like, yo, is this real? Or
70 pounds lost, 20 plus inches gone, 12 pounds lost, 21 inches gone. And, you know, I assume that's, you know, at least, you know, that's got to be a year or so. And that's the thing about now, the program that I'm on, basically, I was coached for 6 months and I've been on my own for a year. Is that how yours works? It's just lifestyle change.
That's the goal, is for them to work with us for 12 weeks and then graduate with all the tools and knowledge and know-how for them to carry on without us. That's the goal. Yeah.
See, that's the type of program people need to be on. There's a lot of scams out there in the fitness industry. I don't know what you think about that, Derek. When you see some of these things,
Mark is setting me up to ask you a question. I think he wants me to ask you what you think of the V-shred guy.
What do I think of the V-shred guy? I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, whether it's V-shred, whether it's any other diet, it's just a way for you to eat less. It's just marketing. But there's nobody, because I have people that message me all the time saying, I tried V-shred, didn't work. Octavia didn't work, all that stuff. It's all the same stuff. If you want to just lose weight, it's just a matter of eating 500 calories a day and doing a bunch of cardio. And the scale will go down and you can take amazing transformation pic. The moment you go back to reality, all the weight comes back. So if you're looking for like a 14-day fix, it's great. If you're looking for a 15-day or beyond fix, it's not gonna work. So you just have to focus on
I'm on a lean protein diet, and when I'm bringing this up because it's responding to what you're saying. So I gain weight when I go back to my normal life of eating out. Like, I cannot seem to lose weight and eat out at the same time. Do you have any advice?
You can't lose weight when you eat out? Like, what? I mean, what are you eating out? Because, like, women.
Well, like, last night I ate fried tofu and I woke up and I was like, I mean, I know that when I look at the scale, it's just mostly water weight, I'm sure. But I swear I go up like a pound every time I eat out for some reason.
Well, that could be sodium from the spices in this.
Well, I was thinking it might be the way the food is prepared.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, like my clients, somebody's at my gate and it's blowing up my thing. You know, my clients, whether the meal plan says, you know, salmon and rice, whether they eat that at home or they go out and eat it, doesn't really matter. It's a matter of what they put on the salmon at the restaurant. So like if you're weighing yourself and you had a bunch of sodium, you're going to retain water, so the scale is going to go up.
Okay. So
like we focus on actual body measurements. The scale's like we hardly even use the scale because especially women, any week or any month, it can go up and down. But if your measurements are trending in the right direction, then you know you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Muscle burns fat.
Mark.
Yeah.
Did you with the page, did you use the scale a lot or were you just doing measurements?
You know, we were doing measurements, honestly. She had me go on the scale, but after a while I was like, it doesn't really matter what's on the scale. I just know And I've lost 9 inches on my waist in a year and a half.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the last time I weighed myself, I'm 65 pounds down. So, yeah. Which is significant, but, when I was losing, like when I was like 20 pounds down, I had already lost like 4 inches in the waist. And so it's like, my measure, you've seen me, Nicole.
Yeah.
I got pictures. These pictures keep coming up on my phone for me 2 years ago. I want to vomit. And my face is like this, but now it's like this. So it's not the scale, it's the measurements.
I've noticed that every 5 pounds I go down noticeably. It's about every 5 pounds I can see a noticeable change in my measurements.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I know I'm not like huge, but I am over 200 pounds. So I'm trying to get below 200 pounds by the end of the year is my goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had women in, 6 weeks, one woman lose 20 inches and only 2 pounds. And I've had women lose 20 pounds and only 2 inches. Mm-hmm. Like you can't control where you lose the fat from or how it comes off, but you can control at the rate and how effective your body is at using the fat. So that's why like the scale is irrelevant, especially if you're increasing muscle fibers, mm-hmm. your scale is going to go all over the place. But if you're in a new dress size, wearing jeans that you haven't worn in forever, feeling better, looking better, then really doesn't matter if you're 165 or 158.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's different too. Everybody reacts to these things differently. Now, let me ask you, this is a question I really want to ask you. And it's really important to me because it's somebody I love very much. And I'm not going to say who it is, but it's somebody very close to me and somebody I love very much who does have a weight problem. And I've told her that what worked for me, and honestly, because I've tried every diet, I've lost weight, gained weight, like you say, mm-hmm. I've lost weight for a time and then after a month or two, you just, okay, I'll have one cheat day, I'll have two cheat days, and then you're back to where you were. Mm-hmm. And it was having coaching and somebody that I was accountable for is how I've succeeded.
Yeah.
She tried a nutritionist and that was more of a group thing and that didn't really help. So mm-hmm. I tell her and I say, I'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's for somebody to coach you or something, you need support, you need somebody to tell you what to do so that you could do it yourself.
Yeah.
But she refuses to do it. She wants to do it on her own. When you have somebody like that, what can I do to convince her to get a coach, or is there anything I can do?
I mean, obviously you can't change her. You can't make her ready. The only thing you can do is just lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
And just be your best version, your most healthiest version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before you try to force somebody or highlight what they're not doing,
mm-hmm.
the more unwilling they're going to want be to listen to you, essentially,
right.
and take action. I think you just come from a supportive place and you just lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you literally show the benefits daily, right?
Yeah.
Instead of telling her.
Mm-hmm. I would love to sign her up with your program, to be honest with you. And I'm going to mention this podcast and have her watch it. And hopefully, it doesn't have to be yours. People respond to different people.
Sure.
Have you had people that have come on your plan and just didn't click with you and didn't respond to you?
Nobody that hasn't clicked. I've had people literally sign up and I never hear from them again.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, we have three different layers of accountability. I have an assistant coach, I have an assistant, and we have a private messaging system, and literally they'll sign up and then I just won't hear from them. And just I guess they just wanted to waste some money that day. I'm like, I'll just give this guy my money.
First off, that might be a gay guy undercover, but they think, but basically they pay and you schedule a call and they don't call.
Well, we get on the call. I sign them up. I onboard them,
mm-hmm.
deliver everything. And then crickets.
Mm.
Crickets. It's a pain in the ass because it takes work for me to build out everything.
Right.
And it's just, it doesn't serve anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather than.
I think sometimes people make choices when they're feeling vulnerable, and then they probably the next day are like, no, that was stupid. I'm not going to do that. Which is unfair because they've cheated themselves out of a chance to really make some changes. I don't have a coach, but I do have a group of people that I talk to and I stay accountable to. So I think it's important to have someone there holding your hand because it's hard. Especially, like I said, anytime I'm drinking, I'm going to undo my progress, which is really frustrating. Not anytime I'm drinking. I've been getting better at separating my drinking from food. It's just a matter of changing my mindset. And knowing I can have a drink without eating. I don't have to eat every time I have a drink.
Yeah,
Nicole, I just got so used to it.
Yeah. Nicole, write this down. Tequila shots and back squats. Write this down.
The key to success.
Tactical we are sponsored soap. By Tactical Soap. Andrew, we are sponsored
don't
by Tactical
it in
Soap.
The prison.
No. Tactical Soap is pheromone-infused soap.
Really?
And Vanya, you know, you want a guy to smell good, don't you?
I sure do, because I like to eat them up.
Right. Well, you'll be eating this up because they have three variations of three different soaps.
Oh, okay.
Maverick. Bond and Durden.
Bond, that's for me.
And they have soaps.
Maverick.
James Bond.
Right. They have Maverick. Yeah, Bond is for the older men. And so, but they have three different variations of the soap. Great smelling. I'm waiting for myself to come. But they have soaps. They have deodorant. They have lotions. They have all sorts of stuff. Go to the description in this podcast and get your tactical soap.
Get your soap on.
Exactly.
Soapy.
You know, I don't want everybody to listen to this podcast and get everything for free. But how do you reduce metabolism in your plan?
How do you reduce it or increase it?
How do you reduce it? How because you have women that have had children, you have women that lead busy lives, and you're able to really jumpstart their metabolism.
Yeah,
and,
raise it.
How do you do that?
Yeah, through essentially changing their portions. Like you said, you count macros, right? So we don't count macros. We just go off portion control. So really what you can do is eat four separate meals a day. For each meal, choose a fist size of protein. Choose a palm size of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And a thumb size of fat, which can be like olive oil, avocado, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that four times a day, the nutrients, the macros, the protein, carbs, and fats,
right,
will be in the right threshold to preserve the fibers you have, but not create fat cells. Now, if you do basic workouts with weights, that's when you create the micro tears in the muscle fibers. Those nutrients will come in and repair those fibers and build new ones.
Mm.
As you repeat that process, your body essentially becomes a furnace, becomes a campfire. You want a bigger fire, you have to have more wood on the fire. So you want bigger metabolism, you have to have more muscle fibers. So you just repeat that process day in and day out. But it's not that hard because you're using foods that you enjoy. So it's not embedded in your mind that you're medicating. You know, I don't want to mess up my diet, or I can't do this, or I have to do this. So it becomes a much less stressful process. And it slowly just becomes daily habit. You automatically know whether you're on vacation or you're out to dinner, I need my palm size of protein, I need my fist size of protein, palm size of carbs, and my thumb size of fat. Let's go.
Yeah. Once again, we realize how you got the gay following, but I'm not kidding, of course. No, that's great advice.
Yeah, that's essentially what it comes down to. People overthink it.
Exactly.
People overthink it.
Yeah.
Your metabolism and my metabolism and her metabolism all works the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It might be at different levels, but there's only one way to increase it and decrease it.
Right.
I found I lose the most weight when I do something similar to what you said. I make little wraps every day with I eat three times a day plus 200 calorie snacks. So it's like four times a day. But what I do is this is the diet that's been working like the most effectively. I have a lean protein, as you said, about the size of your fist. I'm vegan. So it's like tofu or something like that. And then I wrap it with vegetables and I just eat that, and it keeps me full for hours, and I know that I lose weight and I feel better when I eat those foods because they're like healthier and easier on the system.
Yeah,
like the foods I'm ordering in bulk, I feel like shit the next day.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, really, if a woman started from ground zero, if she just ate her body weight in grams of protein each day and didn't worry about anything else, she would feel better and look better and notice changes in her body.
It was immediate. I was able to lose 5 pounds in 2 weeks. That's the most active diet I've been on. But I need to add more weights to it, and I know that. I'm waiting for the writer's strike to be over, and then I want to go back to the gym. I want to do specifically things to strengthen my upper body strength because I have a day job catering, and I have to carry trays and stuff, and I want to get stronger.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Now why don't you coach men?
I do. I have a few men that I coach. Because like I said, in the grand scheme of things, it's the same process.
Right. So
portions are different. But I really just leaned into helping women that were in my mom's situation.
Now, is this a niche you have mainly to yourself, or
what do you mean?
I mean, you specialize in this. Do you think that is that why you specialize in this? Because this is an underserved market.
No, I think it's a saturated market. I think I'm probably one of the only males that are in this market. Usually, it's other females that are 35 that have kids and all that stuff.
So right.
We definitely one of the only guys.
Yeah. And
so you said you helped your mother later in life lose weight. How did that go?
Same process.
Was she like down for it? Did you have to like force her into it, or was she like ready?
No, she was ready. She had gotten pretty overweight and unhappy with herself. And literally, I just gave her the same advice: start with your body weight and protein. And then, you know, she got that under control as far as making that a no-brainer. Saw some changes, which gave her more motivation. And then we just tweaked. Just small things in her day. Okay, now you do this. And then now she's, like I said, it's become part of her daily habit.
See, that's why you need a coach. That's why you need a coach. Because
I have a coach for every aspect of my life.
I know you do.
For those exact reasons.
Because you do mindfulness coaching as well.
Yeah, I have a life coach. I have a boxing coach. I have a health coach. I have a business coach. Just because I need somebody to tell me what to do, where I want to go. I'm sure I can figure it out, but coach gets you there quicker.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Like everybody, it's weird though. Everybody's a coach now.
Oh, anybody can be a coach.
Yeah, there's a lot of coaches that probably shouldn't be coaching. Not you. Yeah, you're pointing at me. I was.
No, I'm saying you said it. I agree.
Mike Tyson's a life coach now.
That wouldn't be bad having Mike Tyson as a life
coach. As a boxing coach, yes, but as a life coach?
Oh, I think it'd be out of this world. How many people can say Mike Tyson's my life coach? I'm not saying it'd be beneficial. I'm just saying it'd be wild.
He's had an up and down life.
Yeah.
But, and what has your life coach taught you that you didn't know before?
My life coach is what got me through the rock bottom and got me to understand that my whole journey was for a reason. Like we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all the shit that I went through. So he taught me, you know, everything happens for a reason. So that person, he taught me that person that I was could only take me so far.
Mm-hmm.
It only set me up to become my most authentic version. So without those downfalls and stuff, I would have stayed in that, you know, quote unquote character and caused a lot of hurt and negative impact. When really I'm on this earth to create a massive positive impact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I teach my life coaching clients, because they're coming from a lot of self-sabotage, or they've been on the receiving end of guys that I used to be.
Right.
So either way, they're getting firsthand knowledge of how to get where they want to go and how to process their trauma and how to see the reasoning behind everything.
Right.
Would you define yourself as a spiritual person?
Yeah. Yeah.
I could tell. I could tell that there was a lot of, you've made some good choices too. I have a very vague opinion of what's out there, but I believe there's definitely light and darkness. And when you align yourself with the light, things fall into place.
Yeah. I mean, my whole life coaching program is based on the law of polarity. You can't have light without dark. You can't have good without evil, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's born out of, your childhood, which is informed everything.
Yeah.
You had the good of your mother and the dark of your father.
Yeah.
Which led to abandonment issues, which led to you fucking a lot of beautiful women. I know that's awful, but that's the way it goes. But I'm kidding. I'm trying to make jest because that's dark and the light.
Yeah.
But now you're helping women all over the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And men and women. I'm sorry. I was looking at your website. You do have some free stuff.
Oh yeah,
you got some free fast and easy meal recipes, a 5-day food challenge.
There's tons of free resources on there. I think there's a metabolism makeover guide on there.
Mm-hmm.
There's recipes. I can't think of what else. But yeah, there's a handful of free resources.
There's a 5-day real food challenge, the fast and easy meal prep recipes. I'm looking on here because I'm cheating. Sugar detox and master your metabolism. And then, of course, the daily affirmations are not free.
Those
are worth it.
Yeah, it's like 30 cents a day, but not free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they're worth it. So now, how do you get a six-pack abs? Now, how did you get it? Because you got quite a body on you. I know you're hiding it with a hoodie, but... Have you ever been overweight in your life?
So no, I've never been overweight. But just so you know, my BMI right now, mm-hmm. I'm clinically obese at this BMI. That's why BMI is worthless. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, BMI is a terrible measurement. No, so I was super, super thin through my early 20s, got married, and then became like skinny fat, like super skinny with a big belly.
Oh, I've seen that, like dysentery.
Yeah, yeah, big beer belly. And then that's what I was like, I don't want to be this middle-aged, unhappily married beer belly guy. And that's mm-hmm. what started my physical journey. And that's what got me to eventually getting abs. So I was like super thin, and then I had the beer belly for a while. And then I got rid of the beer belly through the same process that I teach, building muscle fibers.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is a lot of people, they want to get rid of their belly, so they start eating a lot less.
Right.
When you go too far in the less direction, your metabolism actually goes into protection mode. So like the same way a bear hibernates for the winter with its food, your metabolism mm-hmm. will actually do the same thing with fat cells.
Right.
If it preserves the fat cells, it has to use the muscle fibers as its energy source.
Right.
So now you're actually slowing your metabolism down even more by eating less. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people go wrong, and they get frustrated, and they feel like their metabolism's broken and nothing they ever do works for them. It's just because they use the wrong approach.
And the thing is, when you get on a program like this and you start changing your habits, once you're in a groove, you lose the craving. You don't want to overeat. And if you ever do it, if you ever find yourself, you can't eat what you used to eat. You just can't.
Oh, if you do, you feel terrible the next day.
And oh yeah.
You're just like,
I went on vacation last weekend and I ate all the things, but I definitely felt like crap the next day.
Yeah.
When I got done with vacation, I'm like, that was good. I'm good for the rest of the year. I don't need to eat another bacon cheeseburger. They're vegan bacon cheeseburgers. They're still vegan.
Right.
This is Vegas. This is Vegas.
It was Vegas.
What do you think of veganism? Is that something that are you vegan or do you?
No, I'm not vegan. I'm the farthest thing from vegan. So I'm a fan of people doing what they believe. So mm-hmm. I've worked with vegans, vegetarians, all that. So whether, you know, it's a spiritual belief, whether it's animal rights, whatever that may be, I'm all about it. More power to you. When it comes to your body, I can't find any supporting evidence that's beneficial to your body to not eat meat. I think there's vital nutrients that have to come from meat. I have clients that are vegan right now, and there's a big difference in how they feel, their immune system, and all that. But that's from my experience. But I'm never one to tell, I would never tell somebody that they shouldn't be vegan or vegetarian. But it's not, it's definitely not for me.
Right. But you can get your protein with.
Yeah, you can just plenty of other ways. It's going to be a lot harder.
It is harder. I get a fair amount of protein every day, but it is harder because vegetables have less protein, and that's just a fact. Yeah. So I have to eat more soy-based or like bean-based, or like I have to eat more of it. And then I have to make sure I know that you don't worry about counting calories, but I try to count calories because the one time I did have a trainer, they taught me about the fact that I burn 1,580 calories while I'm at rest. So I try to keep myself under 1,580 calories.
Yeah, just remember that burning calories and burning fats, two different things.
Right.
How so?
Well, burning calories is essentially burning energy. Mm-hmm. So even if you burn 5,000 calories, that's not going to burn the same amount of fat as somebody else, because each person has a different metabolism, has a different diet history, has different genetics, has a different immune system, has a different height, body weight, and all that stuff. So if you're counting calories, you're counting how much energy you're expending.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can, like I said, eat less and lose weight and burn a bunch of calories, but that doesn't mean you're actually burning fat.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can burn calories and still store fat.
But you should still watch your calories.
I mean, watch what you're eating. Don't eat like an asshole. Yeah.
Yeah, trust me, I ate like an asshole for years.
Yeah, don't eat like an asshole.
You know, but I think
that's the thing that, you know, a lot of women, they come in the program, they're like, oh my God, I've never eaten so much food. When really, they're eating more, but they're actually consuming less calories. Just by the different food choices, the higher protein food choices.
Right.
So they're full.
So I have a couple of programs. I'm sorry.
You're good.
How dare you interrupt Derek? What's the matter with you, Nicole?
I know. I'm so sorry. I was going to ask what you think about Extreme Weight Loss, the TV show with Chris Powell. And I was going to ask if you've seen the Thin to Fat to Thin documentary.
I know, secondhandly know the guy that goes from thin to fat and back to thin. Talking about the guy.
Yeah.
The weight loss show, I think they've already got blown up for what happens to those people after the show about all the weight coming back on.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I think that already got exposed. And then the thin to fat to thin is the same thing. There's a metabolic process to it. It's probably not the best thing to go back and forth, but it's the same process. The same way you raise your metabolism, the same way you slow your metabolism. Start eating less nutrients, more food, become less active, take away your muscle fibers, weight comes on. I don't know if that answered your question.
So basically,
I was just curious of your actual opinion, and you gave your opinion, so that's an answer.
Yeah.
They're basically full of shit. They're full of shit, Nicole. That's what the answer is.
Yeah.
I enjoy seeing the process because it helps me believe that it can be done. Mm-hmm. But I think anytime you lose weight drastically and too quickly, you run the risk of getting it back.
Yes, 100%.
The answer is get a coach like Derek Newborn or Paige Sandgren and have them guide you how to do it. And basically, don't lose weight drastically. Lose weight the right way in making new habits. Eat smarter, lift weights, and have somebody teach you the process and tweak it for you and guide you through a process.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And don't eat like an asshole.
That's number one. Start with that.
I think you should rebrand it. I think that's a new I know you have the metabolism rev up, and I like the logo. I really like it, but I think don't eat like an asshole might be the
what's going to be the picture though.
Yeah. A big asshole eating. That's what it should be.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little, Now, before we go, Derek, I appreciate you hanging on with us. Like I said, was I lying? This is simultaneously light and heavy at the same time.
It's been a blast.
It was a whole roller coaster. There's a lot. I've seen a lot of modeling pictures of you because, trust me, I do a lot of research, and boy, did I enjoy it. But there's a lot of pictures with no tattoos, and now the pictures have a lot of tattoos, and I see all the tattoos on your hands.
Yeah.
What prompted all these tattoos?
So I have a whole sleeve on my left arm, and really, I have my dog's name. He saved my life. Rescue this dog. Saved my life. So I have my dog.
What's your dog's name?
Dax. D-A-X.
Okay.
So essentially, like, everything from his name down, which is my hand, are all the hard lessons that I learned when I hit rock bottom. Everything above, which is the rest of my arm, is essentially the battle between good and evil that goes on in my life every single day. So I created like my life's story on my arm.
That's cool. That's cool. And
that's awesome.
Nicole's cat just jumped on her lap on cue. Trouble joined us on the show. So, and you rescued Trouble. You rescued Trouble, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I did rescue Trouble. He was about this big, and he was in a parking lot in Koreatown.
Oh,
I've had him for 13 years.
You rescued him in Koreatown. Thank God.
Well, I live in Koreatown. That's the ironic thing. But my apartment is good. Like, I mean, I don't have to pay full price on the rent, but if I did, it's only $1,300 a month, which for California is a steal.
I was about to say, I think that's a steal for California from what I hear.
Because you're on TikTok, you're on all the social media, but you had a recent reel on how to be attractive.
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting. Although I don't know how much I believe it, but
what was that? That wasn't that recent.
I dug. Like I said, I've been digging through the files, and yeah. But plus, I'm always looking for ways to be more attractive. But I don't know. People tell me that it's from within, but it does help when they're good looking, like you.
If you're attractive and you don't have a good personality, your looks aren't going to matter much. Like, they'll matter a little to like shallow people, but the average person cares a lot about personality. Like, looks are like I always think of like a book, where looks are like the cover on the book, but if it's a shitty book inside, no one's going to want to read it.
Well, if they don't like the cover, they're not going to read it either.
That's the true.
The sense of being attractive is really about being the person that can attract what they want. Really, not
manifestation.
Good. Yeah, how to be attractive, like essentially how to be a magnet for what it is that you specifically want.
I got that down. I'm a big manifestation person.
There you go.
Oh yeah, she manifested some money and some junk food in Vegas. And you got to stop that now. You got to rein it back. But Derek, yeah,
self under control.
So very, very law of attraction is what you're talking about. You put it out there and it comes back to you.
Yeah,
and that's happened in your life.
That's happened. Good and I've attracted, manifested the good and the bad in my life.
That's what's on your arm. You got
exactly.
You were putting out some really, really fucked up things.
Yeah,
for a while, and now you're helping women like your mom all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, living proof of the law of attraction, for sure.
Right. And it's not just because you like cougars, right?
It's true.
Or is it because you like cougars? Is that what it is? You're an older woman? Is that what it is?
No, that's not it. That's not
okay.
It.
I thought there might be a
underlying
your motive.
There isn't.
Derek, this has been a blast. You're great. I had a great time talking to you. Nicole, do you have any other questions?
This is just a general question. It's just a general podcast type question. What is the advice you would give people wanting to start losing weight? Like, what is the one thing they should know above all else?
that they're worth it.
Nice.
Nicole, I think, speaking of being attractive, I think you've been very charmed by Derek. I think he's a great guest.
He's a wonderful guest, yeah. I like anybody that's gone through struggles and come out the other side wiser. Like, those are the sort of people I surround myself with.
It's time you tell everybody how they can go from frumpy to flat tummy.
Well, they can go to DerekNewborn.com, of course. Or they can just message me on Instagram at DNewborn, which is the best way because I keep it super personal. Because each person's starting point means they are going to need a different approach. So it's not a copy and paste, one size fits all. So if you shoot me a message on Instagram at DNewborn, or you can apply at DerekNewborn.com. Mm-hmm.
And this is why people need coaching, because everybody's coming from a different place. Everybody's body's going to react differently. And you need a coach to make those adjustments.
Yep.
So the V-shred guy and the fat to thin the fat, all the fads, don't do that. Get somebody who knows what they're talking about and join all these people, all these women that I see that are just, you got Leanne, Krista, Stephanie, Jill, they're killing it. I can't read these other names, but, there's a couple that just, I mean, just amazing. Tayshia, Amanda, Viviana, Keenan. I mean, just all these women. And some of these, the after pictures of them in the bathing suits, they really have flat tummies and they look great.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I'm very proud of all of them.
Yeah. And, you know, even somebody that's just lost some weight and they're healthier. Good for you. Good for them to find your program.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got one more question. I knew it. Go ahead, Nicole.
I just remembered you said you were going to give away a $40,000 scholarship for your birthday.
I saw that
when I was doing my own research. Did anyone win that?
I gave out $40,000 worth of my program, which ended up being like 11 people. So yeah, for my 40th, I did that. Gave out a bunch of scholarships. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you can't apply, Nicole. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to hear how it went down because that was a big thing. To do.
Yeah, we actually, somebody from South Africa won a scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah, we're worldwide.
That's great. South African women are the most beautiful women in the world. I'll tell you, white or black, every time I've met a South African woman, they've been beautiful.
Really?
I'm telling you. I don't know. There's the water. I don't know what it is, but every time I meet some girl, I'm like, I'm from South Africa. I'm like, wow, of course. And, which leads me to my last question. You recently turned 40.
Yes, sir.
And I heard there was some trepidation about it, but it sounds like you're really embracing it and going for, and just, you're looking forward to it. And I guess for your 50th, you'll give away 50 scholarships and then maybe Nicole will be eligible for that one.
Yeah, I was about to say, set your calendar now. Start planning for it. So your first.
I hope in 10 years I've met my goal, Mark.
But if you haven't.
But if I haven't, sign me up. Yeah.
There we go.
But I know when I turned 40, it's, and Nicole's got a little ways to go. It's anytime there's a zero at the end, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big deal, but I literally feel like I've just now grown up into an adult, like with my mindset, with my emotions, with everything. I feel way better now that I'm 40 than I was approaching 40.
I know what you're saying. I had somebody today. I texted something to our former co-host Hannah from a show from 4 years ago. She's like, can we go in the time machine and go back 4 years? And I showed her a picture of where I was 4 years ago. I'm like, no.
No,
I like where I'm at right now. It sounds like you're in a much better place than you were. You were at 30 and 20 and 50, 60, and 70, 80. It's going to be great. So, Derek. Yeah. So any last words for people listening to us? Because you've grown up a lot. You've matured. You've become the man that you always were meant to be. And now you're on the most adolescent podcast ever.
No, just remember each day you wake up with a choice to make a change in your life. Every single day you wake up.
Derek, I dig you. I think you're good. And as I say, I think there's a lot of parallels between you and my coach, and it's worked for me, and I think it'll work for whoever tries your program. And I thank you for coming on. This has been a blast.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed myself. I laughed a lot, so thank you.
That's what we do. And Nicole, yes. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. And you've got you just manifested a screenplay job, and you have your poetry book. Tell everybody what you got going on.
Well, the screenplay, we're trying to take our time because of the writer's strike. I am currently working on it, but we're trying not to do anything production-wise until after the strike is over, of course. But that will have a premiere, and it will be available for streaming, and I'm very thankful to have my first feature film. But in the meantime, while you wait for that, because I have no idea how long that'll be.
But you're waiting for the writer's strike to be over.
Yes. But I definitely have the contract. And they also send me their notes every day about what they want in the script.
But you're not writing it until the strike is over. Wink, wink.
Yes. Right now it's just outlines.
Right.
So you can get my poetry book that came out last year on lulu.com. Just look up Nicole Six on Lulu and I'll come up. And you can find me at Nicole Six Books or Nicole H Six on Facebook.
And Nicole sent you a friend request today. I'm sure you accepted it. And so I think you guys will be friends.
Oh, I didn't. I was going to follow you. I asked what your Instagram was. I haven't followed you yet, but I will follow you.
And I am Goth Comedian on all social media. Derek just accepted my Facebook request. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.